Are we any closer to figuring out where the Blue Jays will be calling home as they get back from their start of their road trip?
They better hope so. The season starts in, what are we now, an hour and a half, and the Blue Jays do not know where they're going to play, which is just fantastic, which is where every team wants to be. This is a fascinating situation, guys, and nothing about it is good. You know, right now they appear to be focusing a bit more on Baltimore, you know, playing at Camden Yards there with the Orioles, which is like PNC Park in Pittsburgh, another great ballpark, a place I love going. But once again, having the agreement of the team and the league and even the city is great, but it all comes down to state approval, just like it did in Pittsburgh and in Canada, just like it did with federal government. Nothing else matters until the highest level necessary has signed off on this. So we've seen the momentum kind of start itself a couple of times. In Toronto, when the province said okay. In Pittsburgh, when the Pirates said okay, but we've learned twice now that that didn't matter. It's all about getting that top-level approval, and right now that will be the state of Maryland. You know, will they want the Blue Jays and, you know, add to that more teams coming in? It's understandable why places are saying no to this, and it keeps looking like Buffalo is that backup plan. You know, worst case, as Randall Gritchick put it, going to Buffalo.
Do you get the sense that the players are unsettled or, you know, maybe rattled about this, or is it just business as usual and they can't control it?
You know what? Early on, that was more the case. You know, in the middle of camp, and you saw it at a point, too, when Travis Shaw and Gritchick had some tweets as well. And frankly, that's understandable. This is so far out of the ordinary, especially for baseball players who are extremely used to having habits and routines. They are used to their years being shaped around the baseball schedule, not the January to December calendar. It's all about spring training, off-season, playoffs, when that lines up. I felt that later in camp, and Charlie Montoyo said the same, later in camp, players kind of accepted it a bit more, which doesn't mean they're thrilled with it, but I think there's at least an understanding that, hey, this is the reality. Nothing's going to change it, so they can either live with it and make the best of it, or complain about something that can't change. It's really unfortunate that that's where they are. But I think at this point it's just gone so far sideways that maybe not so bad to the point where you have to laugh. That's easier for me to say than a player. But it's to the point where they've accepted, and I guess they get it at this point.
Breaking down the Blue Jays with MLB.com Blue Jays reporter Keegan Mastin. And Keegan, there is a team that is actually playing, even though they don't know where they're going to play their home games. And what was kind of the couple of things that kind of tweaked your interest when you look at the Blue Jays opening day roster?
Well, the Blue Jays, obviously with that young core, is the excitement of the future. But you're starting to see a few pieces fill in around it, because we talk so much about that young core. And if I had a dollar for every time I have written the words, the young core of Guerrero, Bichette, and Biggio, I'd be a millionaire at this point.
Yeah.
But you need something else. You know, the great teams don't just have that core three or four guys. They have special players, or players, more importantly, that fit around the rest of that roster. So who is going to be that utility guy that fills in spots? Well, maybe now that's Santiago Espinal. He's coming in. Fans are going to love this guy, I think, as he plays over these next few years. Kind of like how there's a Joe Panic this year, Eric Sogard last year. Going forward, I think that will be Espinal. And he is an exciting young player who can play all over and hit a little bit, too. He's not just a glove-first type of guy. Then you add pitching to the mix as well. Vladdy and Bo don't matter if nobody is pitching. Well, you add Ryu. You have Shoemaker back and healthy after that great start last year. And even around that, Trent Thornton taking some steps. Nate Pearson is the next big thing. You add in a Tanner Roark, Chase Anderson. So there's a little more predictability, a little more continuity in that rotation. After last year when, I would show up at the ballpark not knowing who was pitching. And sometimes we'd get up to the press box still not knowing who was pitching. So you're seeing a lot of those gaps filled in because the core needs to be supported. And I think that's what you're starting to see where this roster is going now.
An interesting player for me is Rowdy Tellez. How has he looked, and is he a long-term fit for this group?
You know, he looked amazing in spring, and he looked even better in summer camp. And Rowdy is a guy who tends to be that king of spring and summer for the Blue Jays, and he is so strong. And I'm talking about just you know, baseball strength. There aren't a lot of guys as strong as Rowdy Tellez. Now, that's half the battle. You know, we see small, skinny guys hitting a lot of home runs in this game. You can generate strength from a swing, but his natural upper body power. You see, so many of his home runs don't really look like he has rocked it off the bat, but it just keeps carrying, and that's the sign of true strength for a hitter. Now, the issue for him is a couple of things, really. Number one, you have Vladdy at first base now. That limits where Rowdy can go because you're not going to throw him in left field or at second base. He is a first baseman, period. The second issue for him is that he really needs to hit. You know, once you are a first baseman slash DH, you have to hit because there's no but. You can't say, but he stole some bases, but he made a great play in the field. He has to hit, period. That's all he can do for this team. Now, when he is hitting, we've seen the value that he can have, but it's a lot of those at-bats in between the home runs. You know, if you play him every day, can he hit you 30, 35? Sure, probably. It's maybe even likely. But you need that on-base percentage to get up to that 330, 340. You know, kind of how Justin Smoke kept his value, even in seasons where he wasn't going deep a lot. Some of those empty at-bats in between need to be patched up, but he's changed his body. He looked good in summer camp, and Charlie Montoyo likes him. So that's all he can control for now. He's a name to watch, guys, when they cut down to 28 and then 26 men on the roster over this next month, where he lies on that bubble.
Talking with MLB.com Blue Jays reporter Keegan Matheson. That Blue Jays getting away right away here. You know, should we be concerned or surprised that number one prospect Nate Pearson isn't in this roster?
Not surprising, but disappointing. You know, certainly I understand from the perspective of Blue Jays fans, they want to see that next big exciting thing right away. Unfortunately, this is an issue where service time is very much at play. So if the Blue Jays are going to hold him down, let's say until later next week, later in that next trip through the rotation, suddenly they get an extra year of team control. So that is why they're doing it, but it still makes sense that people are upset with that, which is, you know, really what they're taking issue with is the CBA, which is how that works. And you see teams doing it every year, unfortunately. We talked about this a lot last year with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. when he would start the season. Now, when Nate Pearson does get up, he is must-see TV, frankly. There are not a lot of pitchers in baseball, forget about young guys, in baseball who can do what he does on the mound. And the little preview we saw in Fenway Park the other night, not nearly his best. You know, somehow for him, throwing 97, 98 is low velocity. He didn't quite have it. But I think over the course of 10 or 11 starts, this guy could be a real X factor. He could be what changes the season, I think, for this Blue Jays team. If he comes out putting up an ERA around 3, striking guys out, all of a sudden that's a number two starter right off the bat.
And who would be the starter, in your opinion, that maybe get pushed to the bullpen?
Yeah, the Blue Jays have a lot of those long guys that will be pushed back into their young starters being used in relief right now. Looks like a guy like Anthony Kay might get that one start the first trip through the rotation. You have Kay, Thomas Hatch, Jacob Wagspack, a lot of these guys who can give you 3 or 4 if you need. So I think that won't be too big an issue filling innings the first time through, but the Blue Jays also will have Ryan Borucki, who looked great in camp, on their taxi squad. So traveling with them in case there's an injury, He'll be ready as well. But I think once Nate Pearson's in, you bump that K or whoever it is at the number 5 quite easily and let them roll. Then they also have Chase Anderson, who might be coming back from an oblique there a couple of weeks into the season as well. So lots of depth where they don't have to dig too deep and still have some talent.
How do you think that Montoyo will be able to manage this group, considering it's not your usual, 365-day marathon? It's just a 60-day sprint.
I think Charlie is well-suited to this season. And this season as a manager, yes, it's about strategy, but I think it's also about managing people. And this is where Charlie Montoyo's experience in the minor leagues will come in handy, because when you're a minor league manager, you know, you are showing up, and those clubhouses can be a bit chaotic. You're showing up and looking over and saying, who the heck is number 7? Did he just show up today? Is this a new guy? There's so much turnover in and out in a minor league clubhouse that it takes a steady hand. And Charlie Montoyo is one of the better guys you'll meet in baseball. And I think that he'll be able to keep this light when it needs to be, keep it firm when it needs to be. But this is a lot about managing people, especially for the Blue Jays, when you're going to be on the road essentially all season, regardless of what you call a home. Where it'll get interesting, I think, is how Montoyo manages on the field, because he's a guy who likes to get players in and keep them fresh, whereas I think this season should be all about riding your hot hand. You know, give Bo Bichette 60 games. Give Vladdy 58, 59. Ride them as hard as you can, as long as they're not fatiguing. So we'll see how he adjusts to that as well.
That's going to be really interesting. One last just personal one for you, Keegan. I'm guessing you won't be traveling as much this year, so you're going to be kind of glued to TVs and monitors to watch this group.
That's right. Lots of Zoom video calls, which I'm sure a lot of people listening have had an uptick in that in their jobs. So it's you know, keeping the apartment background clean, that will be a nice kind of spin off of this. Everything will always be clean in the background for these Zoom calls before and after, but no traveling this year. That'll be a strange adjustment, but a good one.
Well, Keegan, we look forward to this kicking off, and I hope it gets all the way through and they find a home. But we'll be checking with you again as the weeks go by and the games tick off. So thanks a lot for this, Keegs.
Anytime at all. Take care, guys.